Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Pillsbury.com, with an easier-to-use new look and layout, expanded tools and recipes to explore, search, and browse. All new now at Pillsbury.com. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. We got snow here this last week. There was about 5 inches on Saturday, and then there was more on Tuesday, and then on Thursday, gorgeous white snow lay over everything, our little town, snow on the limbs of trees, a crescent moon in the sky on Wednesday, gave the whole town this fresh, beautiful, white, pristine look, as if we had just arrived in fresh territory, as if none of our mistakes had been made yet. We're all starting out brand new. It was the first Sunday of Advent last week, and for the organ prelude, Mrs. Markland played Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming, in which it seemed to some people, a few, that she had incorporated the Rolling Stones' You Can't Always Get What You Want. And the Rolling Stones fans among the Lutherans, both of them, looked at each other. And they thought, did you hear what I hear? She gets her own comment in somehow. The gospel was from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the verse about the Son of Man will come when ye least expect him, which preys on people's minds, especially children who have more time to think about these things. When do we least expect him? Well, I suppose we'd least expect him in the middle of the night, which means that we would most expect him to come when we would least expect him, and so he probably won't come then. He probably would come on Sunday morning. They sat and thought about that for a good long time. Beautiful snow falling in our town and in houses where conversation died a long time ago. People stood at the windows and they said, look, it's snowing. Which maybe is the purpose of snow. So how much is it supposed to snow then? Well, I don't know. They didn't say on the forecast. Looks like we might get 5 or 6 inches. It makes for conversation, don't you know? So people were out. It was a heavy snow. People were kicking away the snow that is packed up in the wheel wells under the tires, what people call car boogers. And people were out shoveling, some people operating their snow blowers, the two different philosophies there operating side by side. The shovelers who feel that blowers do not get a sidewalk clean. They leave a film of snow, which then gets packed down, packed snow, which quickly turns into ice, making sidewalks treacherous in front of your house, so that when Grandma goes for a walk, she will slip and she will fall and she will break her hip. Grandma, who's just getting over her knee replacement, and now she has to go right back into the hospital for a couple of weeks and then into a nursing home for rehab for the next 8 weeks. And in the course of these 8 weeks, having gone through this already, Grandma loses her faith in a loving God, and she abandons the Lutheran church. And because her rehab therapist is an Indian woman, Grandma becomes Hindu, and she has a small red dot in the middle of her forehead, and she wears a long sari, and she, instead of turkey for Christmas, you are now going to get shrimp curry. And you bear the responsibility for this. Well, you see, the blower people never look on the moral side of it. And they probably wouldn't mind shrimp curry for Christmas. So this is the conflict in our town. There was snow out on the ice on the lake, ice which is not quite thick enough. It's about 5 inches thick. It's not quite good enough to go out there. It should be 5 inches just for you to walk on. And it should be about 12 inches in order for you to drive a vehicle out there. But of course, every year there are men who have pioneering aspirations. We have leadership aspirations. And so they go out. And this can be a turning point in a man's life, assuming he survives the experience. You go out in your snowmobile suit, out on your snow machine, and you're tooling across the ice, and then suddenly water comes bubbling up from it, and you have to scramble across the ice. You're like a cartoon character who's just gone off the edge of a cliff. You have to scramble hard. And as I say, if you don't drown, this can be a good experience for you. Of course, if you die, then, you know, the value of it is pretty well lost, so far as we know. But many men have gone on from this to live thoughtful and productive lives. Clint Bunsen is one who really sort of grew up as a result of it. And it's about time when you're in your extremely late 50s for a person to do that. He and Irene Bunsen were cleaning out the top floor of their house. Finally, after all these years, those bedrooms which have been sort of museums of their children's childhood, sort of interpretive centers, the museums have not had enough visitors to really make them worthwhile, so they got a dumpster in the backyard and they started throwing history out the back window, old mattresses and old lava lamps and things that their children collected, and bulletin boards and science projects. You discover when you have a dumpster in your backyard that you have all sorts of friends in town who will come by and ask you if there's a little extra room in there for some of their stuff. But they were going through their children's history, the science projects, the battery that was made out of a potato, and the baking soda vinegar combination that foams up to make the lava that comes out of the volcano. And they looked at these things and they thought about Maggie and what she's doing now, and then they pitched them out the window into the dumpster. They're going to fix it up, knock down some walls, make something nice. What are you going to do up there? People said. Well, Clint said, we're going to insulate it with foam, with 2 inches of foam, and we're going to put carpet on the floors and the walls and the ceiling, and we're going to install strobe lights, and we're going to have a fog machine, and we're going to dance naked in the dark. That's what we're going to do. The thought made people a little bit queasy. And then there is this 24-hour virus that is going around now, which is really a violent virus. You get it without really knowing it, and then suddenly it seizes you, and you gag, and you empty the contents of your stomach right there, wherever you are. It does sort of make people cautious about where they go and who they are with, because this is a very public moment. When you vomit in public. Next to running for public office, it really puts you in the limelight and does make people careful. Pastor Inquist stopped down to the Chatterbox Cafe to talk to Darlene Wednesday for lunch. He never goes out for lunch, the pastor, and so she wondered. She says, how's Judy? How's everything at home? She thought maybe there were marital problems. Fine, he said, fine. He ordered the grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of chili. He was there actually to see about Darlene. People have been concerned about her because she's spending holidays by herself in her apartment up above the Five and Dime. She tells people she's going to see her brother in Alexandria, but this is a small town. We know the comings and goings of others. And we know that she's up there, and she's watching movie musicals one after the other on Thanksgiving. People were wondering, what should we do about her for Christmas? So he said, you know, there's a singles club in the Lutheran church. There's a ladies' circle. There's a Sunday night supper. We're going to have a Christmas dinner. You know, people come to these things, Darlene, who aren't necessarily Lutheran. We have no idea what they believe. It doesn't matter to us. We don't ask any questions. We'd be more than happy to see you at church. She said, thank you very much. She thought to herself, the man looks lonely. The man looks as if he's trying to meet somebody new. What if the pastor should ask me out for a drink? Is he flirting with me? Is he coming on to me? She wondered. She sort of fixed her hair a little bit in the mirror. Not unattractive, the age of 45. What if he invited her out to dance at the Moonlight Bay Supper Club? What would she do? Suddenly, she felt a little uneasy, a little queasy in her stomach. The Bunsen family was together this last week, Clarence and Arlene Bunsen and most of their children, and they drew names for Christmas presents, which they've never, ever done before. Dwayne was up from Houston, and Barbara Ann was up from Chicago with her husband, Bill. They're still married. Nobody knows why or how, but they still are somehow. They never seem to talk to each other or look at each other or refer to each other, but they drew names on account of Donna, who's down in Long Beach and who's been having a rough fall due to this antihistamine that she took to control her allergies because the neighbor was using an outdoor air freshener, which made her sneeze and cough, something terrible, and this antihistamine kicked in an eating disorder. And before she knew it, she was obsessively eating pumpkin right out of cans, just cold pumpkin out of cans. She had a 24-can-a-day habit going. And her mother said, "You've got to get help." So she went off to the Betty Ford Center for Eating Disorders, and she was there for 45 days. And she got it under control pretty well. And then she came back home, and here was this outdoor air freshener. And the city had dug a trench to put in a sewer, and this had excited all of the termites in the neighborhood. And they had come at her house, and she stepped up onto her porch, and she stepped right through it, and she sprained her hip, and she had to go to a Super 6 motel, and the insurance is not going to cover this. And she can't afford to buy Christmas gifts for everybody, so they drew names, and Dwayne wrote the names on slips of paper and put them in a hat, except as a joke, he put his name on all of the slips of paper. Which they didn't realize until the next day when Arlene asked Barbara Ann what she thought she, Arlene, should buy for Dwayne for Christmas. And Clarence thought that was so funny. He laughed and he laughed. He laughed so hard he broke a rib and he cried out in pain and he fell down on the floor, and Arlene thought it was a heart attack. She called the volunteer fire department and they came up in the rescue truck. They hadn't had a call for almost a month, so they were excited. There were 12 of them who came up, and they ran the siren, and so a whole crowd of people came. They pulled up into the driveway. They got stuck in the driveway. Clarence went down. He helped them get it out, and then, of course, they said, "You have to get up on the gurney." He said, "I'm okay. I feel fine. It's just a little pain in my..." "No, no, but regulations said that he had to get up on a gurney." So he climbs up on the gurney, and they wrestle the gurney into the back of the rescue truck, and just the motion of the gurney, suddenly the virus hit Clarence hard, and it was horrible. It was just horrible. He helped them clean it up. He felt that it was his obligation. He had just eaten a lot of cranberries, and so it was rather pungent, and a number of the volunteer fire department who had not received training in dealing with projectile vomiting had to go off and put their arms around trees and look off into the distance and try to think of other things, think of cleaner, purer, more innocent, more pristine things. What you could do when it was beautiful as it has been this last week with this fresh snow on the grounds. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful town. Children sliding down the hill in the dark, crying out in terror and joy. Terror and joy, the beginning of religion. And fresh snow on the ground, making it seem pristine, as if we'd just arrived, as if none of our mistakes had been made yet, which, of course, they will be made. We will make them again, but maybe this time we could enjoy them more than we have in the past. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average. This public radio podcast is supported by Pillsbury.com, with an easier-to-use new look and layout, expanded tools and recipes to explore, search, and browse. All new now at Pillsbury.com.